This is Marketplace from APM. I'm David Gura.
This week on our show, we've followed the flow of federal food stamp dollars through the economy. We've been taking a look at the ripple effects. The food stamp program was written into law 50 years ago, but more people now are on food stamps than ever before, a record 1 in 7 Americans. We started at the beginning with low-income Americans when they get their benefits. Then we looked at what those food stamp dollars mean for hundreds of thousands of stores and at how employees at many of those stores, including full-time workers, rely on food stamps themselves. Marketplace's wealth and poverty reporter Chrissy Clark's been reporting the story, and she joins us now. Hi, Chrissy.
Hey, David.
Your stories have generated a lot of listener response, a lot of comments, and one that came in pretty early on was just, should we be shocked by this, by the way this system works?
Yeah, and my point isn't at all to decide if you or any of the listeners should be shocked by this. My point was more just to say, hey, guys, let's actually look at what's really going on about how food stamps function as a part of our economic system in all these different ways. And maybe that will help us have more informed conversations about things like food stamp funding, about debates around the minimum wage. Let's just look at it and all get on the same page about it.
Your stories focus a lot on Walmart, and I wonder why that is. Why did you choose to focus on Walmart?
Well, Walmart is kind of hard to avoid when you're talking about things like food stamps and wages, just because they are so big. They are the largest employer in America. They're the largest recipient of food stamp dollars, and they're the largest retailer, full stop, in America. And because they've been such a successful company, they've really set the tone in a lot of ways for the competition. And I actually want to give Walmart a lot of credit for being very open to talk about this stuff. They invited me down to their headquarters in Arkansas. They really engaged in the issue. Other retailers that we reached out to, they all declined to be interviewed for this story. But I think that the role that Walmart plays in the economy, especially for low-income families, is a really interesting one. And it's kind of encapsulated in this phrase that I kept hearing at Walmart headquarters. I think it sort of gets to the heart of the paradoxes of the food stamp economy in America in a lot of ways.
I'll explain that. Tell us a bit more about those paradoxes.
So let me tell you the story. So I was at the Walmart headquarters in Arkansas, and I was at the visitor center there. And all of the tiles in the visitor center, which was actually Sam Walton's old, one of his first shops, right? The founder of Walmart, one of the very first stores he opened. All of the tiles were mismatched. And Alan Drano, who directs the visitor center, pointed them out to me and explained.
It's because Sam got a good deal on the tiles from the contractor. Yeah, true story. So I pointed that as our very first example of EDLC, which is everyday low cost, which is how we get to EDLP, which is everyday low prices, which is our strategy, our pricing strategy.
And that equation, that phrase EDLC leads to EDLP, everyday low costs lead to everyday low prices, is this driving philosophy at Walmart. I heard it multiple times when I was at the headquarters. And you can look at the equation in two different ways. When I talk to Carrie Denniston of the Walmart Foundation, she sees this as one of the key ways that Walmart helps America, really helps low-income Americans.
One of the greatest assets that we provide to local communities is often being there and being a grocer that can bring safe, affordable, nutritious products into areas that may not even have had access to them before.
But of course, remember that equation. To get to those everyday low prices, you need everyday low costs. And one of those costs is the cost of labor.
Some people would argue, and indeed we've seen them argue this in the comment section on the website, that Walmart could just raise wages, and I wonder why they haven't done that, why they've decided not to.
Right. Well, there's a couple things. I mean, Walmart is a business. They have the reasons why they think their approach is the best thing for their bottom line and their shareholders, which is ultimately what they're doing.
It's worried about its margins.
Right. Exactly. And then there are also questions about, well, if you raised wages, would that increase prices and by how much? And then would you be hurting low-income Americans in a different way? And we actually have a video that we've sort of gamed out some of these questions on our website. But there's also this other point that an economist at UC Irvine named David Newmark brings up. He's on the relatively conservative side of the spectrum. And he says it's not like food stamps are making Walmart and other companies pay low wages. They're going to pay low wages one way or the other. And so if low wages are part of the service economy right now, and if this is the economy we have, maybe food stamps coming in to make up the difference is a good system for low-wage workers.
I wish they were more skilled and were worth more in the labor market, but assuming that's not going to happen in the near future, I'd certainly rather they get those benefits than not get them. And I don't know that, personally, as an economist, don't have a strong feeling about somehow there's a moral obligation for them to sort of earn that from their work, or for employers to make sure they earn that from their work.
So he's talking about the near future and the economy that we have right now. And I wonder where that leaves us. Are things going to change? How would they change?
Well, the one thing that sort of everybody I talked to, from Walmart to some of the low-paid workers who are on food stamps, what they all said is, we would love a world in which the food stamp program did not need to exist, especially for people who are able-bodied and who are working. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we kind of kickstart the economy so that businesses aren't getting pressured into raising their wages higher, but that they need to, because there's a lot of people with a lot of skills who can ask a lot for the work that they're doing.
You can find all of Chrissy's reporting on our website. That's at marketplace.org. Chrissy Clark, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
You can check out our interactive called Wage Wager. That's also at marketplace.org.